I love Zac Efron. Who the fuck else is down for Zac Efron?
Yeah,
He
is playing Charles Manson or Freddy Krueger.
He's playing Ted Bundy. That's not why I like Zac Efron. In fact, that's a mark against Zac Efron because he's going to forever be known as the serial killer rapist. Not a good look for him.
Yeah, that kills my boner real quick.
He's already battling that as it is. But what I love about Zac Efron is his unflinching positivity.
Yep.
Think about that.
Think about that tonight. Watch the show, but put us on mute and think about it.
I saw a show with Zac Efron, not the Ted Bundy shit. It was better than that. It was the Bear Grylls shit. He did Man vs. Wild Celebrity Edition with Bear Grylls.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Which you're probably thinking, that sounds like the worst possible pairing I can imagine. Because everybody hates Bear Grylls.
Yeah.
And everybody hates Zac Efron. And truth be told, I hated him too before that episode. Everything that was thrown at him, he just like was so ambitious and rambunctious to do it.
Yeah.
To the point where it was like, okay, now Zach, we're going to crawl across this rope 100 feet in the air from this cliff to that cliff. And Zac Efron looked at it and just went, okay. And he just hopped on and he climbed the rope. And I would have shit my pants and probably died, but Zach was gung-ho.
Do they still have Man vs. the Wild? Because didn't it come out that Bear Grylls fakes the whole thing? It's all bullshit and like he's like in civilization the whole time. And
I don't know.
I thought that came out.
Zac Efron's so positive, I don't think he would stand for faking it. He's a real deal.
Yeah, that's true.
He's a real deal kind of guy. So I'm with Zach.
I'm with Zach.
Did you see Neighbors 2?
Hell no.
I didn't see Neighbors 2.
Hell no.
I didn't.
Yeah, he helped them.
Zach, don't. Sorry. I didn't see Neighbors 1.
Isn't that like Robert De Niro in it?
No.
That's Dirty Grandpa.
Oh, Dirty Grandpa. Yeah,
that's part of the Dirtyverse.
Hey, Zac Efron, number one actor in my books. Robert De Niro, number last.
Whoa. That's
Robert
low.
De Niro sucks.
What?
Well, he's good in the Godfather verse, but the Dirtyverse is not good.
No, the Godfather's awesome. That Robert De Niro rules. Casino, all the gangster shit is cool.
Mm. What about Analyze This?
But everything...
Or Analyze That.
Meet the Parents and Beyond has so sullied the Robert De Niro brand.
Dude.
That brand cannot be recovered.
Now...
Brand failure.
Okay, brand fail. I was going to say, though, he is in a new movie. Scorsese's new movie comes out this year. What is it called again?
The Irishman.
Roma.
Yeah. And it is back to De Niro being in gang shit.
Yeah.
Again, so can it be? Can he be redeemed?
No.
But at this point, you're taking Dirty Grandpa and you're putting Dirty Grandpa in your gangster movie.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to be watching the gangster movie. I'm just going to be thinking.
Dirty gangster.
This guy's Dirty Grandpa. I don't buy it.
Yeah, he's Dirty Gangster. I know. This guy's a dirty ass grandpa.
Yeah, this guy's a motherfucker. I don't buy it.
The Godfucker.
Thanks, Kevin.
What's the combination of Dirty Grandpa and the Godfather? The Grandfather.
Nice. Theme song. I'm a cuck.
Oh.
Nice, dude.
I just decided I'm a cuck.
Me too. I decided that. I love it. I love the lifestyle. Well, I already was an apple cuck.
Yeah.
That took too long to say. I'm just regular ass cuck.
I'm full blown cuck too, dude.
Want to see my wife get railed.
Anybody out there want.
What? That was an AX moment.
You're not married. You're not married.
I hope not, because I would love that.
They would have to
anymore.
You gotta
dissolve that marriage.
I know how to cuck Rocco.
Yeah? What, use Android? That's what.
No.
Play with his toys?
Yes! I'm going to go into your office when you're not here. I'm going to play with all your toys. I'm gonna have fun with your toys, buddy.
The toy is not a wife.
Yeah, but...
Cat is not a person. Either.
I'm also, if anybody's wondering out there,
wise words. Cat is not a person.
Cat is not a person. Toy is not a wife. I am a cuck, and I'm also a libtard.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's my official. That's my official political affiliation. And someday I aspire to be the world's first libtard president.
Wow.
Nice.
So,
as again, we all said I'm a soy we'd vote
you're
for
a soy
you.
Boy?
Yeah, I'm a soy boy.
And I'm a and I'm going to work on my shit later. But anyways,
hey, before we get too far into this podcast, you know, we're going to get into political discourse, we're going to get into
as we always do.
Yeah.
A lot of debate,
got a lot
discussion,
to say.
Campfire discussion, you know, camp come to the campfire, you know. I'm just playing with everybody, of course, we're on a set. And not in a camp, but I wanted to say real quick that tonight at the end of our show, we have an announcement.
Yes.
So stay tuned.
It's a very big announcement.
Wow. That's all. Just stay tuned.
This is not the announcement, but the announcement will be coming later.
Yeah. This is the announcement for the announcement.
So stay tuned.
Yeah. So stop talking about it.
Okay. No more. That's it. Kevin, stop.
Shut the fuck up.
Kevin's like whispering to himself, like he's fucking split over here. All his personalities are having a conversation.
Split. Ooh, I love Split. Split was my favorite movie the year it came out.
Split was a great movie.
It came out the same year as Get Out, and everybody was giving all this praise to Get Out.
Yeah.
Ah, Get Out. Split knocked it out of the park. I feel like Split destroyed Get Out personally.
I liked Get Out more.
You know,
I liked Split more.
I started watching Get Out, and I had to stop watching. I forget why. There's no real good reason.
Mm. Racist.
But I haven't gotten to a point yet. It's very early on, so I'm like, everything seems so nice. I can't imagine it's going wrong.
I'm still there.
Yeah. But, so I don't know. I mean, it seems fine. The brother was kind of a dick. We just met him. So I don't really know.
You know what, though, Derek? I'll say this. Get Out was full of all the cute little goofy hidden things in it that, you know, things that when you watch it a second time are such great punchlines, and like it did all the things that I loved in old Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
So that was why I picked that as my favorite. Yeah. But Split was its own thing where I can't point to another movie that is like that.
You know what I mean?
So that's what I will say. Like that I recognize.
What I value in a movie more than anything is really tight screenwriting.
Mm.
And Split was a perfect script.
Yeah.
It had an A plot and a B plot.
And they came together
and
perfect.
And they were building on each. And you're thinking like, why do they keep going to this B plot? Like, what's the point of this? And then at the very end, they come together in a surprising but meaningful and in a way – a meaningful way that makes sense. And I walked out of that movie. My mind was fucking blown. I just thought like, holy shit. That was a great movie.
Yeah.
I saw Glass this week.
Oh, you did?
I thought that was a steaming pile of garbage.
Oh, really? Wow.
That was one – yeah. I hated Glass.
No shit.
I won't go into why I didn't like it unless people want to know, but I was bummed.
Did you – now, I heard – like everyone said that Bruce Willis was terrible in this movie. Do you agree?
I don't think
that
he's even terrible. I just thought he was just phoning it in.
I think that it's the director's responsibility to get a good performance. So I don't blame Bruce Willis. I blame M. Night Shyamalan.
Uh-huh.
If M. Night Shyamalan wrote the script and was there the whole time, so whatever Bruce Willis was doing, the director approved it.
That's true.
You know, he should have said like, wake the fuck up, Bruce. Like, give me more emotion. I think that that's the way M. Night wanted him to play it.
Well, maybe, but I think it's also – I think a lot of it that is playing into that opinion is – or why people are pinning it on Bruce is that everyone has heard every story about every director having trouble with him. I think that's why people are – you know what I mean? Are like – directing
well,
that at him.
Here, I sympathize with Bruce Willis because I thought the script to Glass was so bad. I just felt like, well, yeah, Bruce Willis is probably just not enthused to be in a movie, this movie, because it's – I just thought it was
Do you think like
really
Bruce Willis
script.
Knew it was going to suck?
Yeah.
He's been phoning it in for 20 years. Like,
But like maybe –
I don't know. He was in, I thought he was pretty good in Looper.
Oh, yeah.
I liked Looper. I thought he was great.
You know, like, I feel like Bruce Will, like, M. Night Shyamalan having him in Sixth Sense, like, that kind of made his career again, I thought. Like, once he was in Sixth Sense, Bruce Willis was, like, huge again for a little bit.
Yeah. Totally.
And I kind of feel like maybe he owes Bruce Willis, like, I mean, he owes M. Night where it's like, you know what? Whatever you do, and you want me to be in it, I'll be in it for you because, you know, you help me out, I'll help you out. And maybe he saw the script and was like, ah, this sucks, but I did give him my word and I'm going to be in it.
M. Night Shyamalan has – he's made some of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah.
The Sixth Sense, fucking love it. Split, I love it. The Visit, a lot of people hate that movie.
Village?
The Village?
Or The Visit?
The Visit.
Okay.
A lot of people hate that movie. I love The Visit.
That was recent, right? A couple years ago?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't see that.
He's also made some of the worst movies I've ever seen. Lady in the Water.
I love Lady in the Water.
Glass.
What was that one? The Happening?
Oh, yeah.
The Happening, which you could
yeah, that passes as a fun.
You could pass it as a comedy or a farce.
Yeah, that was garbage, but man, I had a great time.
And I love Signs,
He's made stuff in the middle, too. Like Devil, I thought was pretty good, not amazing. Signs, I enjoyed, not amazing.
I love Signs.
I love Signs.
That might be my favorite of his, in all honesty.
I think that's mine, too. No, Sixth Sense, and then Signs, probably.
I just think that he's capable of making movies all over the spectrum. But it's been a while since he's had, like, big name actors in his movies, you know? For a while, he's making kind of independent features with smaller actors.
Yeah.
And now he's got Bruce Willis, Samuel L. Jackson, James McAfee, who was amazing in this movie. He was.
Yeah, he completely steals the show.
Yeah, just because I think the movie was not good, that doesn't mean there weren't really good parts to it. But as a whole, it just did not do it for me.
I overall liked it. There's a lot that didn't work. I mean, we kind of talked about it before. Yeah. There's a lot that didn't work for me. I still, when I was done, I still had an appreciation for it because, again, no one's making the goofy shit that he is. So I still, like, had a positive effect from it. But I will say it did illustrate that M. Night Shyamalan works best with zero expectation of, you know what I mean? It's like, I feel like when all the eyes are on him, he buckles.
What's
you know?
Funny, real quick about Signs, what I think is funny is, again, I think that movie's all right because to me, it's about story and kind of like that's the foundation of the movie. And so Signs is a movie where these aliens, their weakness is water.
Yeah.
But they invade a planet that's 70% water.
That never bothered me.
Me neither. And like
like humans invading a planet that's like covered in acid.
But
we would do. I think
we would do that
in a second. And we'd do it to resource the materials out of that planet, and we would move on. And I think
that's not what the aliens were doing in Signs.
What were they doing in Signs? We don't know what they were doing.
Yeah, I never got hung up on that at all.
That didn't bother me.
It was just like, they're there, and there's something
that can
kill
them. For me, it
was
like the aliens are going to kill us all, take whatever they want from the planet, and then move on.
We live on a planet where dogs can kill us. We still have fucking dogs. Like, it didn't bother me.
Dogs are man's best friend.
Not evil dogs.
Devil
Dog, the Hound of Hell.
Yeah, but that water thing, I've heard ever since the movie came out, and
when I worked at Blockbuster, every person that came in and returned it said that, was like, dude, why the fuck were they on a planet with water? And I was like, I don't know. They were. It didn't bother me.
But so Glass is kind of his first time in a while where he's had big name actors in his movies.
Yeah.
And big name actors are expensive. So what I think is Split was this surprise hit. And suddenly people were like, oh shit, M. Night is back. Let's give him a couple million. And I think that kind of, I don't know what happened. I didn't make the movie. I don't know what he went through, but I feel like there was perhaps just a rush to get this out. Like, let's get the script made. Let's get Sam Jackson and Bruce Willis in here. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And I just felt like there was a lot of things in that movie that were unbelievable to me, and none of it had to do with the superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
I bought all the superpower shit. It was on a day-to-day, just, you know, real world stuff that was kind of taking me out of the movie, just sucking me out of it.
Mm.
But, you know, whatever. My review of Glass.
It made a lot of money.
I never thought The Sixth Sense was that great.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah, okay. That movie exists for its twist. I really, I rewatched it again recently too, and I just feel like it just kind of like slowly stepped towards its ending. I don't really get much out of it. Unbreakable was the movie where I was like, okay, I fucking love this.
Oh my god, you're here shitting on The Sixth Sense and defending Glass.
Never cared. I'm not even defending Glass. I enjoy it. I had a good time. But it's full of. I mean, I bet there's a lot of stuff that if we really got into the spoilers, we'd probably agree. You know what I mean? But I still like give it.
You know,
my,
but
like,
M. Night Shyamalan has always been. His movies are just an episode of The Twilight Zone, 100% of the time. Exactly. And
good and bad,
But there are several of the most classic episodes of The Twilight Zone that just go to the ending as well. It's like all about the twist, and that's what sells the whole episode.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I've always enjoyed that. I'm along for the ride.
You know, a big thing for Glass, too, the comic book shit, like, was not – I don't feel like that was – Good. I think that it harped too much on that. Mm-hmm. And for a movie to like deconstruct comic books in 2019 when we have so many comic book movies,
yeah,
and comic books have been deconstructed.
I was ready to move on from that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, them bringing that up in Unbreakable, it kind of came at a time where no one was really discussing that, you know, and it was interesting. But I didn't care for that angle.
Comic book culture is so big. And yeah. I really feel like this – I don't even think – like. I feel like he didn't research comics enough because there's so much more to comics than what they were going into.
Yeah.
But people are saying we should spoil it and go into it. Maybe we'll do that in the after show. We'll
save
it.
But I honestly don't disagree with any of the stuff that you're saying. Like, I think that I'm there. You know what, Derek? There's a certain difference between me and you. There's certain with certain movies where there are things that like. I'll recognize as bad, but like I'll almost like be more dear to them for them. You know what I mean? Like, what am I trying to say? It's like when we were talking about the fucking Halloween 3, the Season of the Witch, uh-huh. and you were fucking mortified by it. And you could list off all day. In case anybody out there doesn't know, there's a third in the Halloween series. The third Halloween movie has nothing to do with Michael Myers, and it's just this batshit movie about kids' Halloween masks. Yeah. And you were rattling off all these things that were terrible about the movie, and I didn't disagree, but that movie's dear to me almost for those reasons. Like, there's certain things where I just appreciate how like off the path that it is, and so I love it in spite of those things. Kind of, you know what I mean? It's like. And I think that – and that's never been your style. Your style is like, no, you should have made a fucking good movie.
Here's the thing. I love camp.
Sure, yeah.
I love campy movies.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't like unintentionally campy movies. Like, mm-hmm. sometimes a movie is just bad.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could write it off as, oh, it was campy.
Yeah.
But I feel like, unless they set out to make a campy movie, I feel like I got just snookered into a bad movie.
Yeah, and I don't function quite like that. Like, there are movies that miss the fucking mark so much that I love them. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And Halloween 3 is an example of that. Why was that fucking made?
Rocco,
oh, my God.
I remember when I first met you, you introduced me to Devil Dog, the Hound of Hell.
Yeah, one of my favorite movies ever.
Yeah, legitimately.
And that movie, they fucking fail at every
And I think that's
avenue.
Why you like it.
Yeah. Yeah,
they tried so hard and failed so hard.
Every chance they have to make it good, they don't take it. And and that's why I appreciate it. And that's something that's just the difference. But that is... been the difference between me and you forever, Derek, is that there are things, and again, like, I don't think there's much we would probably disagree on with Glass. It's just it almost made it dearer to me for
totally.
The, like,
it's
why
just,
does this exist?
I think it comes down to like what you value
exactly.
in a movie, what your movie values are. Like, I love Sleepaway Camp, but I feel, and that's a horribly campy movie to the point where it is borderline bad.
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel like it's the movie they set out to make, and and they nailed their target.
Totally, they knew what they were doing. Yeah.
And then all the other sequels are trash.
Yeah. How many Sleepaway Camp sequels are there?
I don't know.
I only know one, but I don't know.
I don't know. I think there's more than one. I didn't care to find out.
Yeah, me neither. What is the most not needed to continue series. Like, this series...
Assassin's Creed.
Need to be Assassin's Creed. Oh, no. Well, movies. I'm talking about... I guess...
Didn't they make a movie?
If they make a sequel to that movie...
Michael Fassbender.
But, like, holy a series shit. That is like, whoa, there's like 100 of these. You only needed the one. Like, my gut is Saw. My gut is, like,
so many
we did not need more than one Saw. But maybe, you know, even though I had a good time... I had a good time watching the latest one... Another part of me says Predator. Like I honestly had a good time watching the latest one, but like it was a B movie, and really that series did not need more than the first one. You know? But I think I would say Saw probably.
I remember when I was a kid, I found out that there were a bunch of sequels to the movie Psycho.
Mm-mm. Oh yeah,
there's like four Psycho
yeah.
sequels.
Yeah,
but the second one came out like 20 years later. And I just feel like classic film from the 60s should have left well enough alone.
Yeah. I think I'm going to have one, and I think you guys are going to be pissed off by my answer here.
Don't say Terminator, but that's okay.
It's not Terminator.
Okay, good.
But Alien. I don't need the first one is so good, I don't need the other ones.
Second one is a great movie. Still.
You know what? I don't like it.
You don't like the second one at all?
I mean, it was. I don't
Holy
need it.
Shit.
If it was gone, I wouldn't mind. You know,
that's the second James Cameron movie that Sean has written off. Just want to throw that out there.
I'm not going to agree with Sean, but I'm in the same boat as Sean. The more I rewatch the Alien franchise, my love of the second one diminishes over time. I don't hate it, but it's
no.
It was really cool when I was a kid, and as I grow up, I just feel like this is like maybe I've changed as a person. I love the first one, and the second one's just so different.
Yeah, I think the second one was my favorite definitely when I was younger, and then I got older, and it's like, no, that's not, come on. But I still do think that's the best sequel they could have made. Like, they didn't do the same thing twice.
They didn't replicate the first one.
It's a James Cameron 80s action movie, and I think it's so well done
and
for that.
I think the new, like, Prometheus films are kind of just aping the first movie again, but putting them in a new setting.
There was definitely elements of that with Prometheus. I enjoyed Prometheus because of some of the weirder directions it went with the mythology, and it was kind of like, oh, we're back in that universe, but it's not quite the alien again. You know, they weren't running from the fucking facehuggers again, or, you know, whatever. Even though there were a lot of borrowed elements for sure, but it still kind of took the mythology in a different direction. Even though the movie wasn't executed necessarily that great, but then Alien Covenant killed that.
It really did.
After Covenant, I was like, oh, you don't know where you're going with this. Never mind. Okay.
It's interesting.
Even though it was a better executed movie, maybe, but it wasn't a good story. Like,
all right, segue, but related segue, because you mentioned Terminator, you mentioned Alien. I was just thinking about these movies today because I went to a family birthday party. Little boy in my family turned 8 years old today, so we went to his birthday party. And last minute, I went out to buy him a gift. And I was thinking, like, man, when I was a kid, I remember being 8 years old and my favorite toys were the Aliens action figures. I had every Aliens action figure there was. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking, like, wait a second. Old man Derek thought, movies today suck, especially kids' movies, because I just realized when I was 8 years old, all of my favorite movies were R-rated movies that were made for kids. I loved Terminator 2 and I loved Aliens. And I feel like kids today don't have those movies coming out. They're getting like Star Wars and
the Marvel movies,
Marvel movies.
Yeah, which are great for
them.
Which
are fine, but they are not the same as an R-rated movie.
They're not like big concept like sci-fi franchises like that, I guess.
Yeah, and it just dawned on me, like, they used to make R-rated movies for kids, and they don't anymore. And I thought that those movies were so cool. For years, I was obsessed with just a handful of movies instead of, you know, nowadays you get 10 movies a year.
But I wasn't allowed to watch those movies because it was rated R.
That's the thing. Like, so, a lot of kids didn't see them and their parents wouldn't let them.
A lot of these movies, I had to wait till I was like way later.
Right, you didn't
see
Terminator 2 until like 2016?
Yeah, I just saw it.
I honestly only saw it a few years before that. I didn't see that when I was younger.
My parents, my first memory of being in the movie theater, I've probably said this on the podcast before, is Friday, Nightmare Before Christmas Part 5.
No, Nightmare on Elm Street?
Nightmare on Elm Street. No, I know what I said.
Close enough.
I know what I meant. Nightmare on Elm Street Part 5. I remember being a kid, like, watching this guy with this burnt face, like, chasing people with this truck, and he, like, crashes into a backyard and thinking, like, why is this guy driving a truck and it's not on the road? I was probably 4 years old.
Oh, my God.
They took me to see Terminator 2 in theaters. I remember my parents rented Predator 2, and I watched it when I was probably 5 years old. I was allowed to watch a lot
of those
movies.
Your childhood was very different from mine when I wasn't allowed to see the sequel to Honey, We Blew Up the Kid. What is it? Honey, We Blew Up the Baby. I couldn't see that because we rated PG.
And
I,
what?
We got to the theater. They turned the fucking car around.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, because it's PG. And you know what? It's probably okay for you, Sean, but your little brother's here.
Did you? Oh see, I was the little brother. I was the younger.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, if it was good enough for me, the whole family could be involved.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that movie was called Honey, I Blew Up the Kid.
Yeah.
But I believe it was originally called Honey, I Blew Up the Baby, and then they got cold feet about that title.
Okay.
Because that is said in the movie.
Yeah, I swear to God, I saw trailers for that.
Yeah, and I remember I had Disney Adventures magazine, and it was listed in there. They announced it as Honey, I Blew Up the Baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they just went like, oh, that's kind of.
I have.
Yeah, it's better if it's kids.
Anyway.
There is a moment in my life that I'll never forgive my mom. And my friends were all going to go see the Mortal Kombat movie. And I was so excited.
Oh, no.
I was so excited. It was a early showing and it was like a little bit away. And so I was like, I woke up, ready to go. And looked at the clock and the movie had already started. And mom's like, oh, I decided you couldn't see it. Sorry.
Oh.
So I didn't want to wake you up and tell you. So I decided.
Oh, what a slap.
Damn. Can you believe that bullshit?
My mom let me like sneak into Mortal Kombat because it was PG-13, but I was only 10 years old. But she's like, yeah, you can go. And she gave me money and dropped me off at the theater with my friends, and we went and saw it. I loved Mortal Kombat.
My parents were generally no rated R. PG-13, they were totally cool with. But R, generally no, if they didn't know about it. Yeah. If they did know about it, then it was situational. So, like, my parents were really into the Alien movies. So that was like, hey, you know what? Because I was like, oh, what are those? I want to see those. And they were like, you know what? They're really intense. If you think you can handle them. You know, here they all are on VHS. Go ahead. You know, and then, but I didn't even watch them because I was just like, oh, well, you know, they put it on me and it was like, yeah. Oh, they're intense. Well, huh. Maybe later. I'll watch them later. I didn't see them until I was in high school.
I wanted to be John Connor so bad. I was 8 years old on my bike, fat ass Puerto Rican kid. Like I was 125 pounds at like 8 years old and I would take a soda can and stick it in my back wheel. So it would make like the motorcycle sound. You guys remember that? Or I'd attach a card to my
the
spokes.
The card, yeah, baseball card.
So my bicycle sounded like a motorcycle, and I would ride down the street and stop and like look over my shoulder and pretend like a big rig was crashing off a bridge to come after me, and then I'd ride so hard. I'm John Connor! Hell yeah.
But the first what was I going to say? The first movie that I ended up actually seeing, though, that was rated R and I actually watched it through ended up being Predator. It was on Spanish TV and it was like, whoa, is this a rated R movie? Oh, they blew his arm off. Whoa. It was like kind of a lot for a minute. And then by the end of the movie, I'm like, oh, this is all movie magic. Like, you know, it's like he didn't really, you know. So
my dad and my brother loved Schwarzenegger movies. So I saw Total Recall as a kid. The chick with three boobs blew my mind. I went over to a friend's house. We watched Predator and The Running Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Schwarzenegger movies ruled. I know parents today. I ended up getting Fortnite action figures for the birthday party.
I bet he was stoked.
Best gift of the party.
Nah, there you
go. He told me specifically.
There you go.
And I know a lot of parents today who are like, I don't let my kids play Fortnite. I think that's wrong. Cartoon violence much? And
okay.
That bullshit. But I feel like, I just realized, like, yeah, I guess. But I was watching Terminator 2 and
it's
Aliens.
Like, it's
when
not
I was
like
eight
Doom
years old.
Where there's not blood in Fortnite or anything.
Like, I was playing Doom when I was like 10 years old. I just feel like. Yeah, there's always going to be something. There's always going to be something that's violent that the kids are into.
Well, people – let me tell you.
Yeah.
People fucking love to judge you about parenting. And I get this all the time where it's like, oh, you let your kids have that much screen time? It's like,
Yeah,
it doesn't fucking affect you at all, so go to hell. Like, it's like it happens all the time. So, yeah, I'm sure that gift – oh, you know, actually, that game is a little – it's like, fuck off.
Yeah.
I love all the parents who were like – don't let your kids play computers. Don't let them get into gaming. It's going to ruin their life. Yeah, getting into computers is going to ruin kids' lives. Because in the future, everybody who didn't use a computer as a child, they're going to be well off.
Yeah,
no shit.
They're going to be the guys running all the businesses that where the AI robots do all the work. It's going to be the people who never used a computer as a kid.
The one thing that I've ever agreed with Will I Am on – is we why
the
don't
puss.
Every yeah the puss is excellent.
It's a watch, everybody.
It's a watch one, but that school we every class should have like early programming. Like if every kid learned how to do make a fucking app. Do you know what kind of power they would have over the next generation? Like oh my god!
In Beckett and Emma School, there's a semester that they have to take coding.
Oh, whoa.
Coding, do they have
coding,
to?
Yes.
Oh,
it's
no
like a
kidding.
Class that everyone
interesting.
Takes.
Yeah. Will I Am's influence then paid off.
Got him.
And they're going to be programming on the
I was
E-pod.
Actually reading – I read like an article years ago and the author made a great argument. He's like, why would we ever not give new technology to our children? Imagine, imagine the cavemen who invented fire, but they went, no, this is too dangerous. Don't let the kids play with it. Don't let them know how to use this. Yeah. It's like, no, the kids get the technology and then they do shit with it.
So there you go.
Derek, the next generation.
Derek is pro, let the kids play with fire.
Fuck yes. Is. Let the kids play with fire.
You know, I understand there's war everywhere.
My mom also let me play with fire when I was a kid.
Dude, I loved matches.
But I understand
that was my favorite toy.
Me too.
War.
Matches?
That's a cool toy. Yeah.
I would walk around with like a ball of twine and like some matches, and I would just burn them like randomly.
And your mom was cool with that?
Yes, she gave them to me. You laugh. Okay, you could watch
did that
fucking
too.
Anything
no,
rated more
hey,
than a G.
Hey, I'm jealous. I'm not upset
that's
with that.
That's why we all love practical effects in movies so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's
hey,
why
I'm with you.
When I was the government, I said, light my ass on fire. Because I'm comfortable with fire,
yeah,
baby.
That's yeah. sick.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right,
know,
sorry, Rocco. What were
no,
you going to say?
No, the war, there, you know, there's war out there. Why can't we have a war on education?
Hell yeah.
Good.
That's what YouTube is helping.
Yeah.
YouTube...
Oh, you let your kids watch cartoons great. In the morning? I don't do that because we limit yeah. their screen time.
That was hey, and I saw that happen to my parents. My parents had family
kids
friends that were also parents, same age.
Yeah,
and it was constantly, Rocco has a TV in his room.
Yeah.
I saw them get side eye about that every time they came over. I was like, I would get a new Nintendo game and I would bring it to my room, and they were like, oh. Wow, he has a TV in his room.
And you know what? Here's the thing. If they want to have that conversation when they get home between each other,
yeah.
fine.
Yeah.
But they can't leave well enough alone.
Yeah.
They have to make little comments to your fucking parents. And then maybe, I mean, this won't happen, but maybe they get in their parents' bed and they take out your TV. Like, fuck those people. I'm trying to screw your shit up.
I have a rule with that kind of stuff. Because you, Sean, when it comes, like, you're a parent, yeah. and I, you know, and that was a thing that, was new to me when it was first starting, you know, whatever, when you first had kids, whatever. But
right.
I had to establish in my brain, because every now and then I wanted to say something. Not like, you know what I mean? I'm not like fucking backseat parroting you.
No.
What fucking info could I bring you in that department? But you know what I mean? But every now and then there was something where I would go, maybe he doesn't know about this. Like a really specific thing.
Sure.
Like, you know, I'm making this up completely, but
totally.
Like, hey, you know, just so you know, they found fucking radiation in 3DSs, so maybe Beckett shouldn't chew on one.
I will tell you, I got one text from Rocco ever.
Yeah.
And it was, hey, that VR headset, I took a picture of Sawyer. Is
oh,
like,
yeah, that's what it was.
It's meant for kids like 9 and up, which I did know.
Yes.
And I did appreciate the text. I didn't think that was like... You know, that's not the same thing.
So that's, but that was a situation where I thought maybe I have some info that he doesn't.
Right.
And my policy that I set up is I say that I allow myself once.
Mm.
Hey, just so you know, that.
Yeah.
I to keep fucking bringing that up becomes, hey, fucker, what do you like?
Right.
I'm the fucking parent here, and what? Because I saw that with my parents, like they would, like their family, you know, our family friends would bring something up. Hey, just so you know, da 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 da. But when you keep bringing it up, then it's like, what do you want me to do, dude? Do you want to raise these kids or
yeah.
what? You know. So I felt like,
and,
well, maybe that's info you don't
and
have.
I posted that picture, but she had it on her head for probably 10 seconds because she almost did. She wanted to see it.
Yeah.
I'm like, she got too nauseous, had to.
Throw
no, it
she
off.
Just wanted it, and then she did it, and she was done. But then I see. But the picture is like she's playing a fucking game.
Sure.
You don't know, so I appreciate you saying
that. I just
that.
Didn't know. Like I said, you know, sometimes people don't look at the thing, and I just,
yeah.
hey, just so you know.
No,
okay,
I think
that
was the right
it.
Thing to do.
But good the move. Bummer is Rocco only allows himself to do it once.
Oh,
so there's
going to
come a time when, you know, he's going to see a photo. It's, you know, Beckett is watching Death and Rebirth, and he's saying, I don't like the ending of Evangelion. I'm never going to watch the show again. And Rocco's going to want a text and be like, he has to watch.
You know what, Rocco? I'm going to go and say that wasn't
different.
Your one, and you have another one if you want it.
Well, I'm saying one per item.
Okay.
I'm not saying you can only speak up once.
Okay, good.
I will speak up again.
Yeah.
Just not about VR.
That to me is like, you're a concern for my kid's safety, and that's fine. Like, that's allowed. But, like, the TV in your room, what the fuck? Like, you...
I mean, I saw them that these people that my parents knew brought that up to them every time they came. It was just like, I mean, he's got a TV in his room. Who knows what he's watching? And let me tell you, I was pornography. I was the best fucking kid. I never watched anything sketchy in there whatsoever. But it was like, it's like all I had was fucking 13 channels. It's like I had Ninja Turtles, like that. You know,
scrambled porn, the Spice Channel, Channel 99.
Yeah, I mean, I had that in my room too.
I mean, everyone. But I mean,
see let's what be happens.
Every kid did flip past the static to see what they could see. But yeah. that was the worst.
Sean was so repressed that he was addicted to the Spice Channel.
I was addicted.
If you had been allowed to see R-rated movies, you would.
I
would have
finally seen a boob,
and you wouldn't be addicted to the scramble.
Then I had to fucking watch Titanic 10 times in theaters to see that one boob at one time.
When I would spend summers in Russia, and they just air like not porn, but art films, movies uncensored in Russia because in Europe nudity is not a thing. So as a kid, I just watched like action movies with violence and like a lot of tits. So it never like stimulated me beyond like okay, whatever. Saw a lot of cool shit in Russia, specifically Terminator 2 dubbed every day.
I remember I was... This is going to make my parents seem bad.
Uh-oh.
I was a kid and my parents rented Natural Born Killers from Blockbuster. And I was like, can I watch this? They're like, sure. And I watched it up until I think the first mass murder scene. And as a child, I just was so disturbed that I told my parents, like, I'm going to go to my room. Bye. And I just left. Yeah. I felt like, ooh, so cool. I get to watch these bad grown-up movies. And I was like, I just self-assessed. Like, I'm not ready for this.
This isn't me yet.
I'm too innocent for this.
Yeah. I definitely had a lot of those moments. Anytime I had some kind of first breakthrough to something, I would get like, oh, no.
Just uncomfortable.
I don't know about this.
That movie made
me
go
feel process this.
You know? Really uncomfortable.
Yikes.
Don't let your kids watch Natural Born Killers.
The first, boobs I saw, like, I remember someone's house, there was a Playboy at someone's house.
Yeah.
And they left. It was probably like the dad's, you know.
Of course
whatever.
It was the dad's.
And then I looked, and I remember, this is going to sound weird, but I remember a girl, you know, I saw, there they are, girl's boobs, and I remember being, like, disappointed almost. Like,
what?
Not disappointed in the in the sense that it sounds, but almost like I didn't expect what I saw. Like, it was like, oh, it's just nipples like I have nipples. Like, and then I had a moment of like, what did I expect? What else was going to be there? Or like, what would
cheat codes?
What would that? What else would there be? Like there was going to be some sci-fi revelation there or something. Like, oh, that's, you know.
I wish I could remember the first boobs I saw.
Oh, I remember.
I don't remember. I don't remember. I was born seeing boobs. Or the first Playboy. I don't remember.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dang, I am envious of your memories.
I think I told this story before, but I went to my friend's house and we went to Playboy.com and we started printing pictures that we could get.
What year was this?
I was in like fourth grade, one of those. And so it took forever to load and then print. And then we folded them up and put them in the John Leguizamo book that biography that he had.
Great book.
And we put it in his bookshelf, and so whenever we wanted to see him, we'd open the John Leguizamo book out. And so I went to his house. I mean, this was probably, I don't know, like 10 years ago. Went to his house, and like he went to his old room, and he's cleaning out, and I'm like, is there still those pictures in the book? I mean, they're still in there.
Awesome.
We still found them. Yeah.
Congrats, Mr. Leguizamo.
Good times. Why would you own the John Leguizamo biography now that I think about it?
Somebody in the chat put, first boobs I saw were in Starship Troopers.
Oh,
and
two.
And then I read the next line, two. Starship Troopers 2? Not even the first one? Well, did you skip the first one? Because they're readily available in the first one.
I remember hating that movie, the first one.
But I did too.
I don't know if I got it.
It was lost on me back then.
I think that is one of the most underrated movies ever made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I should see it again.
I think it's a masterpiece.
Yeah. At the time, though, it was like, you know what it was, Derek? It was the context and everything at the time. One, it was lost on me, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But two, everyone I knew that was super into it was just, there's guns and Denise Richards' boobs. Yeah. And it was just like, fuck this.
When I
this
first like, saw this, it as a child, like, I appreciated it on that level. Like, sci-fi movie, they're going to go fight the bugs and get them. As I got older, I watched that movie, and then it clicked for me where the commercials are like
join the army today. It's a little kid with a gun.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they go to register and, oh, infantry. Infantry made me the man I am. And he pushes himself away from the table and he's missing two legs and one arm.
Right.
And just all the, it's a real, it's like, all promoting it's an genocide, anti-war yeah. film. Yeah. Yeah. And it has commentary on like propaganda and all that was lost on me.
Yeah.
And as an adult, I was like, holy shit, that's, I think this is lost on a lot of people.
Yeah, definitely.
It's also cool because there's a scene where he like signs up to go to space or join their army and that's shot in the LA Convention Center.
Yeah.
So I just think of E3 and Anime Expo every time I watch
and
it.
And you know what's funny is, sorry, I know you're going to want to cut the feed as soon as I say this. I'm sorry, but okay. Bear with me.
Yeah.
In Power Rangers Lost Galaxy.
That was
a show that they actually got the Starship Trooper outfits donated to them from Fox. like it takes place in a space colony, and they all are in the same uniforms as that movie.
That's funny.
And they shot there when they're in the like lobby or whatever of Terra Venture, their space colony, they shot it in the LA Convention Center.
Awesome.
And so it was like, what the fuck happened? This show became Starship Troopers. It's so weird.
Paul Verhoeven needs like his master collection put out. RoboCop, Total Recall, Basic Instinct, Starship Troopers.
I still never saw Basic Instinct.
Those are his four great masterpieces. I recommend everybody go watch
Showgirls. Oh, yeah. It's not as good. But Showgirls is also a fun movie.
I never saw Showgirls.
It's, again,
never
same did. Thing. Watch it now. Oh, yeah. My God. It's camp, but it's great. It's so fun to watch. It's like it's almost like watching a John Waters movie. It's so over
what
the top.
What is it about?
Showgirls is about, I forget the actress in it, but it's about
Elizabeth Berkeley from Saved by the Bell.
Oh, yeah. So, shit. Yeah.
Jesse.
So, she's like a down-on-her-luck girl in like the Midwest or whatever. I'm going to go to Vegas, baby, and become rich and famous. She goes to Vegas, and it's just her way rising up being like from a stripper to a showgirl and becoming like the new It Girl. It's like all about Eve, but for strippers. It's so trashy. There's a scene where they're like fucking underwater, and it's like so over the top and ridiculous.
Yeah,
it stars Colin McLaughlin.
Because remember, it was
Peaks.
Like NC-17, and that was like the big story. Yeah. It's like this is like
it was
beyond
a wide release, like NC-17. Yeah,
probably the last one. Of course, it bombed. Probably the last wide release.
Yeah, and like it goes through like the industry of putting on a big Vegas show and like how competitive it is. Like it's like better. It's way better than A Star Is Born. So. Honestly, I had a great time watching it. It's definitely like a camp, fun, trash movie. If you watch it with friends or even your girlfriend, like it's a fun movie. And again, it's Paul Verhoeven.
Yeah, Rocco, I wonder what you would think of Basic Instinct.
I would just watch the second one, probably. Skip to that.
Yeah, that's the good one. I think it's awesome. I think, again, I started this by saying I really like a good script. That script is one step ahead of you the whole time.
Yeah.
You think you know what's about to happen, and they pull the rug out from underneath you time and again.
Yeah.
But in a good way, not in a surprise, like out of nowhere way.
Sure.
Yeah, it's good.
It's also worth it for the Sharon Stone scene. If she does that.
I guess.
No.
I feel like that's,
you're thinking of a different movie.
That part scares me.
That was hyped up so much to me. And then when that scene happened, I was like, that was okay.
Yeah.
What was that?
You knew a lot of just horny kids.
I guess so.
But when going way back to bookend this conversation with what series doesn't need more sequels or whatever.
Yeah.
I gave you shit, Sean, that you were going to say Terminator.
I did.
But, you know, it's funny. I feel like my gut instinct was that shouldn't qualify because 2 was a great sequel. Like, 1 and 2 were parts of one story, I feel like. We're you know, regardless of where you rank them, I think the world is better having had Terminator 2 in it. I'll say that. At the same time, I still maybe would pick that. Like, fuck making any more fucking Terminator
movies.
In my
head, they don't exist.
Stop making more Terminator movies. Oh my God. Get the hint. And, like, they don't do well. Like, they're not even hits. But they keep doing it, and there's another one this year.
Damn.
There's another one?
There's another one. Yeah, and they've been showing shots of, they got, what's her name?
Linda Hamilton
back.
Schwarzenegger,
and it's just like, dude, guys, give it up.
James Cameron's not writing or directing.
When I was a kid, I have such vivid memories. I can remember being in my house on multiple occasions just thinking, like, someday I want to grow up. I want to make movies. Man, it'd be so cool to make Terminator 3. And I would fantasize about that, and when Terminator 3 came out and it was so bad, it was like my childhood died in a way. Like, the fantasy of being able to make Terminator 3 was no longer a possibility, and I miss living in a world where there wasn't a Terminator 3. and beyond at this point.
Yeah.
Well, you have to go back in time and then change.
Holy shit.
Whoa. Speaking of
send
that,
me back in time and I'll
that
kill
should be the movie.
I'll kill the director of Terminator 3 as a child.
In the future, a film came out that was so bad. Yeah.
You know what's funny? Ironically, when you say back in time, I really think when the dust clears, the only film series that has maintained its, they didn't go anywhere further with it is Back to the Future. Like, Back to the Future still hasn't had a fucking reboot,
all
sequel,
right, well,
whatever.
You just jinxed it.
Yeah.
It's coming back now. Back to the Future.
Yeah, Marwan did so bad that Zemeckis has no choice.
He's going to have to. Yeah.
They're going to do, like, Back to the Past or something.
Forward to the Past.
Oh, forward to the Past.
Oh, yeah.
It's holy shit. They take the DeLorean way back in time to the Stone Age, and they get lost, and a bunch of cavemen get into the DeLorean and go to the 60s.
Whoa.
Forward to the past.
Oh.
Yeah, it's happening.
There was a whole – you know about that, right? There was a whole like
– and it's the Geico cavemen.
There was supposed to be – the sequel to – Back to the Future 2 was always supposed to be – like the earliest scripts were that it was 60s like – flower power type, you know, whatever. And they kept writing it and rewriting it. And it was like, this sucks. Let's not go to this era.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, the 60s are pretty culturally significant. So Hollywood, that's the easiest go-to. Like, if you need a time period that's fucking zany, go to the 60s.
So it was, they were like, it was just like, it was okay. And then they were like, no, we need to like fuck this up. Okay. All right, go to the future, now back to the 50s again, this, that, whatever. But then it was going to, the last act was the 1800s, like, of the movie. It was going to be like, let's not promote it. Let's not even show it in any of the things. Let's have the surprise of the movie be the last. Like, you think this movie's ending, and there's a whole fucking another act in the 1800, in the Old West. Yeah. And it was like, dude, people are going to be like, drained in the movie theater. Like, make that its own movie. So they did, and then that's why, like, I love all three, don't get me wrong, but that is why the third...
is a little bloated?
The second one is overloaded, and the third one just feels like the last act of... You know what I mean? It kind of feels just like...
Well, when
I say
bloated, I mean they, like, took this much story and, like, stretched it out.
Now, I like three in... the context of you watch all three. Like Back to the Future, the classic movie. Part two is so fucking dense. Like, oh my God, what's happening? And then three is like the breath. Like, okay, now we're back together. Now we'll... And I like it in that context, but it doesn't stand alone. You know what I mean?
So the cavemen are actually the ancestors of Doc and Marty, I've decided.
Whoa.
And they have to go to the 60s to stop the JFK assassination from happening.
Cool.
Forward to the past. Hell yeah.
There you go.
I'm just spitballing here. Yeah.
Hey, speaking of moving forward, it's time to go forward to the future. Okay. Oh, now that's a concept you've never heard of. And what better way to do it than to be with us here at Mega 64, the most future forward thinking people on the internet. We are cyber.
We're progressive.
Web 2.0. We do it all. And what better way to get involved than go to shop.mega64.com and get some of the best apparel, some of the best apparel 2.0. That's what we're calling it from now on. I don't even say the word clothes. Apparel 2.0 and other stuff too. Media, you name it. We got the best items over at shop.mega64.com. And always be sure to check us out over at our Patreon, patreon.com/mega64. We're always putting up some fun stuff, and there's some great stuff going up this week. Stay tuned, because you'll have a few video surprises along the way, and gifts going out to everyone very soon as well. So stay tuned and check that stuff out. And if you don't subscribe to our archives channel, this is our Mega 64 main channel, youtube.com/mega64. Subscribe if you haven't, but check out our archives channel, the Mega 64 Archives. We're going to be putting stuff up like every single day coming up, because we've been doing the MLK stream this whole week. Lots of great stuff to come. You're going to have something to watch every single day. Yesterday, I put up hours and hours of just Red Dead streams that we've been doing, that either me or someone has done around here over the past few weeks. And there's more to come. So check that out.
Yeah, the coolest thing is we had David Jaffe in the studio on Friday.
Yeah, on Friday.
And we sat down and talked to him for like 3 hours.
Something like that.
I couldn't believe how long he was on for. He was just the best sport, so
yeah,
it's cool.
And
yeah, it's been fun.
That'll all be up on our archives channel, and it was great.
I saw a screen cap of the Resident Evil 2 HD remake.
Yeah.
Leon and Claire look like high school students. Anybody else thinking that?
No, that's what
they're supposed to be.
They are, yeah.
A high school rookie?
And, and he's like modeled after like Leonardo DiCaprio. Like that's why he has like that specific 90s like haircut and everything. And
yeah, I mean, I guess for me, I'm still remembering they were just like pixels in the original.
Yeah.
But I was shocked when I watched it because I just felt like they were like High School Musical characters. They looked so young.
They're saying that Claire is 18 and Leon's 20.
Okay, well, Leon looks 16 and Claire looks 13. So think about it.
I'll think about it.
What's going on there?
I played that game a little bit because I was excited that it came out, so I opened it and just played it for a minute. But I'm determined to beat Red Dead. I only have a little bit left in Red Dead. I'm going to beat that first before I really do Resident Evil.
I think.
But the little bit. Oh, yeah.
No, I think that you talking about Red Dead made it so I'm never going back to that game.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you made it seem like
it was too long.
Yeah, it's like, man, I had fun. I had a great time.
Yeah.
But I definitely don't have the time that you're saying that.
You don't have to play
it
for the story.
Sure.
You could just
exactly.
fuck around in there.
Yeah, which I have.
There's tons to fuck around with in that game, and that's great. Yeah, I think even for myself, if I had known this, maybe I wouldn't have dedicated myself to beating it. But I am so close now, I might as well. So I'm going to do that. But I played a little bit of Resident Evil 2, and I got to say, I'm going to make a recommendation because this has made it so much more fun. If you got the deluxe version that you could pre-order has the original Resident Evil music in it. Like they, you know, it's all like this remake has all new music recorded today, but they actually included the 1998 MIDI music from the old game. Turn that on because, man, I've been playing it. And I mean, it's modern day amazing graphics, but then when zombies show up, it's no. That has the juxtaposition of that to me has made it so stylistically awesome. Like, what other game is doing that? You know what I mean? Where the soundtrack is like just synth, like weird. Anyway, I'm going to recommend everyone.
And
if
you don't have the deluxe version, they added it as DLC for $4. You can just get that music. But yeah, it's also the sound effects, the bloop, bloop, bloop. And once you have that option, when you load the game, it's now Resident Evil 2.
Yeah, it's all these old sounds with the new visual style. And
yeah.
It's great.
I think I'm like about 6 hours into the game. I just like finished the sewers with Leon. I love it. Holy shit. Like, we streamed the first 2 hours on, and I'll be up on the Megastore Archive channel.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's everything I like would have wanted and more. Because I forgot how good Resident Evil 7 was and that engine. And it's just, like, it's Resident Evil 2 present day, like, you're fucking living it. And then all these new gameplay elements they add to it. The thing that threw me off is you see the police station and you go in and I'm anticipating, like, you know, this big entrance, and you just walk into the police station. The fact that there wasn't a load screen for that threw me off. And then, like, going to the police station, once they introduced liquors, I won't speak too much more, but the fact that enemies will chase you through doors now keeps fucking me up.
Yeah, because in the old game, you would use the load screens as safety.
Yep.
Like, oh, shit, this thing's chasing me. Go through the door. All right, cool, loading. Yes. They're gone. Hell yeah. Nope, not anymore. You are in it. But, for me personally, I've never been able to play the old Resident Evils. The tank controls made my brain not work. I don't know what was wrong with me developmentally.
There's nothing wrong with you.
I've never...
Those controls sucked.
I couldn't figure those out. And so all I ever wanted was, please modernize that game and let me play it. And this does that. And it's the story, setting, characters, everything from that classic game. But made into a modernized video game where it's almost like getting a sequel to Resident Evil 4. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, best of both worlds
to
me.
And,
so
and again,
I'm,
as
I'm
you
stoked.
Play it, they subvert things and shift the orders of sequences. So even going to the sewers, I was like, all right, let's do this. And then it's like, I'm so excited now to start Claire's campaign. But there's just little tweaks to it. And they do something so significant with, like I'll talk about this down the line, but like I don't like the game's fresh out. But there's a scene that happens after the police station that was like, oh my god, it made me so happy. I really love this game.
But I do agree with the chat though. I am a normie soy boy cuck. No, for hey, not
I don't normally call out people in the chat, but jerk off, you've been saying stupid shit all night, and it's all wrong.
No, I have to agree. Yeah, I am a normie soy boy cuck because I don't get the tank controls.
He said some shit about me earlier. I forgot. Oh, really? I forgot what it was because it was so dumb and wrong. But you know what?
Didn't hear him.
I didn't even hear what you said, jerk off. But you know
I didn't even hear you. But it's probably something stupid.
It's probably something stupid. And you take your comments and put them in your fucking pockets, jerk off. Because nobody cares, gives a shit. You probably do jerk off.
Oh God! Well,
you know what? You know what, jerk off. Maybe if you hit the treadmill a little bit, you'd be at the front.
That's right. You wouldn't have to jerk off so much.
I ended up buying the Spider-Man DLC.
Oh, you did?
So I'm going to play that.
Is there jerking off in that?
I don't know. I haven't played it yet.
Okay. With a web.
Get the web
hands.
There's
some web slinging.
Yeah.
Do you think he tried, Peter Parker, did he go like...
Yeah. He's had to have tried. Had to have tried.
Like one on each nut.
You get like spider sense,
dude. On his nuts.
Yeah. If you could, if you could...
You could stick it to the web. And
normally, maybe you're not doing nut stuff, but if you had webs, you'd go like
that. I want to do the Spider-Man variant where his ejaculate is the web. So, you know, oh no, the spider cartridges are out. Oh, and he's like falling from the Empire State Building. He has 30 seconds. I know what to do.
Yeah.
And then just then swings to safety.
Uncle Ben!
So... I'm going to practice drawing, and I'm going to make it happen.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to call up Stan Lee.
Excelsior.
Yeah, Kevin.
It's
a Comic-Con exclusive poster now. Ooh!
In honor of Stan Lee.
Comic-Con exclusive.
There you go.
So I bought that. I also...
But you haven't played it yet?
No. And I also bought the Uncharted Lost Legacy
thing. Oh, yeah,
isn't it like super cheap now or something?
Yeah, it was. I think it was like $15.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah.
So I thought like, they hey, you know what? I had such a blast playing Uncharted. I don't know why I never got this game, so I got that too. So
I never finished it. I was so burnt out after Uncharted 4.
Yeah.
That I could, like, you know what? Uncharted 1, 2, and 3 were still so in my head.
Yeah.
Because they, like, even those got re-released and I played them. They're great games.
I did the same, yeah.
But once 4 came, I was like, you know, I'm like, honestly, like, burnt out on these. Like, good job on the game, but I'm burnt. And so when Lost Legacy came, I was like, I can't even, like, I gotta, like, I played a little bit of it and I thought it was incredibly done for a cheaper release like that.
Right.
They did a fantastic job, but I had to like, I was like, you know what? I'm going to put this on the shelf. And then whenever I'm thirsty for Uncharted again, I have that sitting there for
and
me.
And that's kind of
so
where
I will
I was
go
at.
Back to
yeah,
it.
Yeah. So I was kind of like, Uncharted 4 came out years ago.
Yeah.
I could play this little game.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to.
So I'm actually like, now that you're bringing it up, I'm like, shit, after Resident Evil, maybe I'll revisit that.
I haven't, you know, I said on the last podcast, I'm cooling it on games for a while, but I've said this for a while. I feel like, personally, just my personal opinion, games are a little stagnant. And so this week I thought, like, you know what? I want to look up some video game timelines. I want to find some infographics about innovations in video games and, like, the progression of video games, especially over the last 10 to 15 years, because maybe I'm missing some stuff. And I found some really interesting timelines. It talked about, you know, starting from 2002 – they started coming out with more powerful consoles and were really focusing on, like, better graphics and, like, bigger games and open world stuff. And around 2005, 2006, they started doing motion control. With the Wii came out, they started exploring motion control. And then after that, we got into the era of peripherals, which was its own era for a while. Then it got really interesting because a lot of these timelines end around 2014 and don't go beyond it. And the few that I did find that progress beyond it, the milestones, it hit the nail on the head for me. I was like, yeah, this is why I'm bored with video games. It was like, then we start moving into the free-to-play era and the mobile era. And then it starts talking about like 2015, 2016, 2017. You know, big companies are going to start focusing on mobile games. And I felt like games were going like this, and then suddenly they started going like this again. You know what I mean? Am I...
That's like the mass market. for kids, mobile and free to play is that's how they anchor them.
Totally.
And now that I always see like a surplus of entertainment as a good thing, like because now I see the next timeline being indie games and like just the fact that anyone can program a game and make games.
Indie games was on the timeline for like 2013.
Okay.
They said that was a big moment in 2013. You started getting, especially on Steam. They said small games that were narrative driven, but I know like whatever.
Yeah.
Not everybody's going to agree with me.
No, but like I'm always interested, like because now Fortnite is like the big thing, and now everyone like we already had that bubble where everyone's trying to do the battle royale, always online multiplayer games, and like what's the next thing gonna be chasing?
That is, yeah. And I said a lot of these timelines aren't super current. I think if we did get to 2018, battle royale style games
like
would be the new innovation.
Like,
because honestly, that captured my attention for a while.
Yeah, you
about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I was playing PUBG. I was playing Fortnite. Okay, all right. What's the next innovation gonna be though? Where do you guys see gaming going in the future?
You should look up some of the stuff that's coming out of this game called Dreams.
Oh,
you would have your mind blown probably.
What's Dreams about?
So Dreams is, I think it's by Media Molecule, who did like Little Big Planet. It's all under NDA.
Okay.
But people are beta testing it and I guess it's got delayed a bunch or some whatever.
Oh, no.
But it's like it's making stuff, you know, whatever. It in some way you have tools to make stuff. And the stuff that's like leaking out, it's like, oh, somebody remade PT. What? Just in this game? Oh, somebody made a new Dead Space. Wait, I'm sorry, what? Like, and it all looks good. Like, it's all like, and there were people, some of the stuff leaking out about it are people are saying like, yeah, this is like the YouTube of video games. Like, people are, it's tools that are accessible to people that, you know, where it's actually like understandable how to make a game or, you know.
That's cool.
I don't know. It was kind of interesting to see. Like,
I did see people
someone just
talking
made this?
About
like,
a made PT thing, but I didn't know what that meant. So,
yeah,
interesting.
Yeah. Well, every other day there's someone. I remade PT. I made the spiritual successor to PT.
Okay.
So that happens a lot, and that's I could see why that would be static to you. But the fact that someone just did it within this game that's coming out apparently.
That's interesting.
It's kind of I don't know. Kind
of. I feel like you know. Obviously, video games make a lot of money, but when it was announced years ago, a decade ago, video games are the most profitable media in the world. That was when things took a shift. And, you know, when big companies start focusing on mobile games, it's like, eh.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, just endlessly pursuing profits is not good for creativity. Dreams, I wonder. I'll have to check that out. But is that the future of video games to you? Like, just giving people like tools and engines, making it super accessible to the common man.
I feel like that is an awesome idea because people are so creative. Then, you know, I'm sure that there will be some that are be like amazing. I would say 99% would suck, but there will be a couple things that would shine through that would like change everything. I could see that.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I honestly don't know. But for me, the biggest change that happened in video games that made them amazing to me was the Switch. Like, I honestly like play fucking games more than I ever have because that I take that everywhere. You know, I know
portable
that's not
console.
For everybody.
Yeah,
yeah, and I know that's not for everybody, and not everyone wants to bring that around. But for me, I do, and that that changed everything. Like, there's so many. I mean, AAA games and indie games that I play now that I never was before, and I feel like I get a taste of everything, and I don't necessarily commit to all of it.
Yeah.
And there are stuff that is kind of like painfully derivative or just, you know, whatever. But I'm trying all of it now and I didn't before. So
I do appreciate
cool.
the hardware of the Switch,
yeah.
But yeah, the software is just where it's kind of more of the same.
Well, for me, Breath of the Wild was like a whole that was a revolution for me personally because I was always kind of checked out on open world.
Yeah, me too.
But that game having the chemistry engine changed everything to me where I was constantly coming up with and devising ideas to like, oh, I bet if I strap this to this, I can fly over there. And then I tell people that online and they're like, wait, that doesn't work. Oh my God, it does work. You know what I mean? Like, so that felt like I felt like I was like carving my own path with that game. Yep. That was cool. Red Dead was a great game, but I did not feel like I was like blazing new trails with it. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't know. It just depends on what it is. I still enjoyed Red Dead. I'm not dissing it, but yeah. I would love to see the kind of concepts they came up with Breath of the Wild and develop that more and flesh that out more.
Do you think that they will do like a more DLC for that game, or do you think they're just done with Breath of the Wild? That's just over.
I don't know, because I feel like
they got to be developing the next one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I feel like that world was so big, and you spent so much time developing your character and stuff like that. I would think like for the next game they could just like expand that. You know, or,
I hope to God that they
or
do.
Just like build a new map, do a new story, but
yeah,
same kind of engine. But would be exactly what I'm complaining about.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah. Yeah.
More of the same.
But that game like changed everything for me.
Yeah,
so.
I would honestly rather if they're gonna do more like Breath of the Wild, I would rather them just like. Just expand that game. Like, if you're going to make a new Zelda, do a new, break new ground. But if you want to do more like Breath of the Wild, just let me keep that character keep exploring. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. Do one or the other.
That's actually brilliant. I would love for video games to do that. Instead of, like, Assassin's Creed and 10 of them, like, if there would be a way to link these games and just continually build this world out where you could go from the world of every Assassin's Creed within one game, they made like, I don't know, what would that be? Like just a giant server that was
kind of the plan for Destiny.
Expanding.
That was kind of the Destiny. Yeah, they wanted to have this 10-year ambitious plan. And then they said they only met like 50% of their goal, but now Bungie and Activision split. Activision, like the story, is always trying to mine out the most money. Now Bungie's on their own, and they have their own rights to Destiny. So we're going to see what happens. But I think, like, and people have been saying, like, with Destiny 2, that was more Bungie driving it, and fans have been happy. But yeah, games as a service. Carrying on your progress is another avenue that people are chasing, but I think that was like the hopes for Destiny. They didn't reach.
But it's less of a. I think games as a service though is different. Like I think it's more just like, let me return to a character that I don't know how to define.
I don't like games as a service because that is such a marketing businessman approach to video games. It's more like games as a never ending piece of art, just like one game that just went on forever. They just kept expanding it and building on it.
I keep thinking like MMOs is World of Warcraft, but like that's its own route.
And I guess that'll be the problem is because if you don't have an audience to sustain it, then that world is not going to keep being built out. But Zelda has that audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it would have to be something special.
Yeah. But that's where I'm at with that. It's like either expand, either do that, go that route, or like fucking change it completely. Because I do feel like I love the Zelda series and I love the ones before Breath of the Wild. But I was kind of over that formula by the time it came. You know, obviously, Breath of the Wild came at a good time. By Skyward Sword, I was like, haven't we done this kind of setup so many times? You know?
When I was at the birthday party today, it was at an arcade, and I saw an arcade version of America's Army. You remember America's Army?
No.
It's like a MMO. It's like a... You know, it's like Call of Duty, but it's officially made by like the United States Army.
Yes.
And it's kind of like a recruitment tool, which is... kind of gross when you think about it.
Sure.
Like they have this video game to get kids really interested in joining the army. And then I just kind of laughed at myself because I thought, I wonder how many kids go to war and think this is not like America's Army. Like,
yeah.
This is not like the video game I played. You kind of sold me on something else here.
A lie.
Yeah. Anybody else? I mean, I tried to play. I remember that game came out when I was in high school. Like
I never
heard online
of
version. You never heard of it? Am
no.
I the only
I
person
like
who's heard of America's Army?
G4, like our Attack of the Show, whatever they had back then. They promote it, so I downloaded it and was like, "Oh, this." Again, at the time, I was playing like Call of Duty and trying the simulation thing. Like, this sucks. Why am I playing it? Immediately uninstalled.
Yeah, it was an awful video game because it was like trying to be realistic, but whatever.
But is anyone here getting Kingdom Hearts 3?
Oh, that's
like
a hard
that is
pass
like the biggest
me.
Shit on earth right now, and it's like is anyone here getting it?
Never played a Kingdom Hearts game.
No,
I played.
That was never my scene.
Yeah, I played the first one when it came out, like in like high school or whatever, and I enjoyed it. But then two, I was like, this is so bogged down. Like I never finished it. I wasn't into that. But I remember when they announced 3, I was like, dude, this has been in the works for so long. I gotta play that. Like it just was so, like, Kingdom Hearts 3, come on, like, after all these years. So I was, like, in on it. But, you know, I was talking to my brother about it. I was like, you know what killed it for me was Final Fantasy 15. Like, mm-hmm. that came out, and it was such a, like, DLC vehicle disguised as a game. And I feel burned so many times by that company that I just feel like I don't trust this.
When does it come out?
It comes out Tuesday, I think. Oh, wow. I just don't. If all my friends say, "Oh, Rocco, it's amazing," then I'll pick it up. But I got too much other shit to mess with anyway. So
you
I'm
got
just
30
not...
more hours of Red Dead to go through.
Yeah, you have to finish your homework. First.
Yeah. But so I wasn't playing it right now anyway. But I just don't. I am just not feeling that. Although, yeah, Octopath Traveler, I heard good stuff, and that was a Square thing. But in terms of, like, their big budget pipeline, I guess is what I'm talking about. I just the buzz is killed for me. But again, if all my friend, if I know a bunch of people that I trust and they say it's good, then I'll play it. But
cool.
Oh, I was just surprised no one else.
I don't know. Do you want to talk about World Games, or do you want to make our announcement? Is it time for
the announcement? Make the announcement. You want to do it?
Yeah, I think you should do it, or Derek actually.
Derek, what do you think?
Definitely not me.
I'll do it.
Okay.
Here's the announcement that everybody has been titillating with anticipation for the past hour.
Twitter's top moment.
Hit record on your screen capture because you're never going to forget this moment. Twitch when clip. I announce this. Next week, we are going to introduce you guys to the newest member of Mega 64.
There it is. The announcement has been made that the announcement will be next week of that.
And that's all we're going to say about
it. That's all we need to say.
Don't come at us with all, hey, reporters from HuffPost or wherever, New York Times.
Yeah, hey, BuzzFeed, you laid off all those people. You should have brought them back on.
Don't blow up our phone, okay? Because you're just going to have to wait till next Sunday when we announce who that person is.
So, yeah, get ready. BuzzFeed should have kept those reporters. Maybe they could have cracked the code, but sorry. You don't have enough staff to even get close to what this is.
So, next Sunday, be here. You don't want to miss it.
See you then.
Oh, somebody already guessed it. Fuck. Yep, JonTron.
Good night.